The Brooklyn Nets season has long since been over, but Sean Marks stepped in front of the microphone to officially give his end-of-season review. Coming up, we break down how he sent a very clear message to one of his superstars in Kyrie Irving and the expectations going forward for the Brooklyn Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir. It's the Locked On Nets podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. Over there, you're going to find Doug Norrie, owner-operator, DFSR, for all your daily fantasy sports rankings. He's got you covered. I'm Adam Arnbeck, breaking down the New York Football Giants on the One Giant podcast. We thank you for making us your first listen of the day, free on all those great platforms. And while normally, Doug, you wouldn't really think press conferences like this end of the season would have a lot to take away from it, instead, Sean Marks comes out and at the very least is honest and direct with not just reporters, but maybe, and not even maybe, with Kyrie Irving around what needs to happen here going forward. We're going to dive in on the quotes, but it just feels like, hey, both feet in here. Sean Marks, Joe Tsai, not particularly thrilled with the way this past season went.
Yeah, look, we knew the press conference was going to happen on Wednesday, and we still plan to do a mailbag because you never get anything from these press conferences because we've just been trained to just say, oh, there's a press conference. It's not going to tell us much of anything, so no problem. Let's do a mailbag over the rest of this week. And that was incorrect because even for relatively vanilla kind of talking points, I think that we can read into what Mark said here. I mean, I don't even think it's reading tea leaves. I think that he just kind of one-to-one called out Kyrie Irving going into the contract, whatever is going to, land or contract negotiations, yep. Or even just not even negotiations or just like what the expectations are. I think it's not even like that hard to read between the lines on this stuff. We'll go through some of the quotes, but I thought this was as direct a message as you will see a GM or a coach or someone in, we'll call a GM, someone in the front office send to a player regarding like a situation that you'll see. Most of the times it's behind closed doors. The Nets are especially like this. So we'll get into it, but I think it's pretty clear that Sean Marks was saying a one-to-one message to Kyrie Irving about what the expectation is going forward or what the expectation is going into these contract talks.
Yeah, with so much that's gone on, right? We covered it all season long. There were a lot of circumstances, a lot of different things happened. Superstars were traded, more new questions were brought about. And what was the takeaways from, and really not just this year, right, but the cumulative three-year stretch that we've been on here with Kyrie Irving, with Kevin Durant, under Joe Tsai, under Sean Marks, and now the last two seasons with Steve Nash as the head coach, someone who doesn't look like there's changes coming above the players, which means the only place you can look then is at the player level. Let's hit the first quote right out the gate here from Sean Marks. And that was, as we give the overarching, we want players that want to be here. The full context being, we need players here that want to be here. They want to be a part of something bigger than themselves, and there's an objective and a goal at stake here. We're going to need availability from everybody.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, what else could he possibly be saying here? He's saying, when he talk about availability, he's not talking about injury availability. That is that's like comes with the gig. If you get injured playing basketball, that is just part of what happens in the NBA NBA basketball season. The Nets' biggest problem this year was they had lack of ability, availability from players that they maybe felt like should have been available to play. Kyrie Irving, obviously. Maybe you even want to put Ben Simmons in that. I'm not sure if that was like a veiled kind of piece at Ben Simmons too. That one's a little cloudier, I think, because there was a clear injury. Kyrie's situation wasn't. But I think that this, you can't interpret this any other way than to say, if you are on the team, you are playing every game that you can possibly play, you have to play.
Yeah.
that's just, within reason. And when we have multiple seasons of that not happening, again, I'm not just talking about the vaccine thing too. This happened the season before with Kyrie where he just simply did not report the play. We remember this. This was this was during a time during, I think, January or February, pre-Harden trade, where he was not available to play for reasons that remain sort of mysterious. So it's not just this thing. There's been other examples of this. So I always want to couch it in that to say, I think this can't be anything but clearly on his mind, Marks, that is, going into contract negotiations, going into an offseason where a lot needs to be figured out, right? Like, you interpret it that way. I mean, he gets even deeper into this later, but like, but you can't see this any other way, right?
Well, because remember, like, we always say, like, there's certainly a different set of standards or rules for superstar talent and superstar players.
Of course.
Yet, if you allowed for another superstar or for a second tier player on this roster to maybe do and make decisions in the same way that Kyrie Irving has over the past season and the past few seasons, well, all of a sudden you're not even fielding a full roster anymore, right? And I think at a certain point from Sean Marks' perspective, it's you're only, you know, the talent that you are is only valuable if you're available to us.
Right.
Otherwise, like, you know, it's like we talk about the version of this team that it could have been over the past three seasons. Yeah. If we did a whole episode, right? But this is what happened. But this is the scenario that played out. And when you look at Kyrie Irving, again, on the precipice of the player option or the big extension here that would line him up with Kevin Durant and with the Ben Simmons contract as well, you have to be able to, if he hasn't already said it directly to Kyrie behind closed doors, also out in public, make the case that this is not the precedent we wanted to set. And maybe we did. Maybe we allowed these doors to open too far over the last few seasons. We're now closing them going into potentially the fourth iteration of this roster.
And by the way, I'm all for preferential treatment of superstars.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. Like, if you are better than everybody else, you get treated differently. Anyone that thinks differently doesn't, just as clues. I'm like that with every job. If you're better than other people and you're more valuable to the organization, you should be treated differently. This isn't like a meritocracy. I mean, it's a meritocracy when it comes to this stuff. Like, I'm all for it. So I'm never going to say, oh, you know, everyone gets treated the same. They're all players. That's just not true. Like, if you believe that, it's a falsehood. So I'm all for treating players preferential, you know, with preferential sort of like a lean to that. And at some point, like you said, it's all good, but you got to play. You got to be available for, you know, 90% of the games.
And
you
also,
know, if
too,
it's not injury related.
When you get the preferential treatment, because guess what, too? There's also a higher expectation when you're the superstar, right?
Of course.
The idea is you're one of the best players on the team. Like, you're Kyrie Irving. I was going to say put Kevin Durant in this mix. You're Kyrie Irving. You're one of the most important players to the success of this franchise. So when we give you some of the, you know, preferential treatment being one of those better players, it also comes with the weight of responsibility of helping carry this team forward, of helping develop young talent underneath you that we need to be better later in the season and into the playoffs, and then being available to make the playoffs and not have it be this frenetic pace and this disjointed journey. There's a lot of things that stem off of this here. We'll stay inside of the press conference and on the back end get more deeply into, I think, you said, this isn't tea leaf reading from the press conference. There's tea leaf reading from everything else that got to this place and the spiderweb effect that I think Sean Marks is referring to.
Yeah, look, I'll hit with the second quote here real quick because this one starts to hammer it home. What drives them? He's asking a question about the player. This is Mark's answering a question about the players. What drives them? Do they want to be part of this? This meaning the team. Are they motivated by something that maybe is not good for the whole team? So those are questions we're going to have to ask ourselves and also the players that we want to bring back in here. Okay. This is, again, is not even coded. It's just there aren't that many players that they're thinking about bringing back in here, right? Like, they have some players that are just coming back because they're on contracts.
Yep.
They have one player with a player option that's up for an extension. They have a few free agents that they can deal with. And then they have Simmons, who is under contract, and, you know, it's a little, you know, again, cloudy about, you know, how they feel about that situation. To me, this is just another, not even that veiled, quote about Kyrie. You know, are they this is the crazy one. Are they motivated by something that maybe is not good for the whole team?
Yep.
Like, that is a really interesting thing to say about players, unless you really think it, right? Because like, because
it's not an off the cuff.
You would never say, like, just think about it in situations that are good. If a situation is good, this wouldn't even pop into your head. Like,
right.
This part about the motivation around players and what they want to do, you wouldn't even think it. Because you, even if things went bad, you would understand they went bad, but you wouldn't be questioning the motivation. You only bring this up if it's something that is actually really on your mind. So, like, that's the most damning part.
This would have been the boilerplate responses. There was a lot of, you know, a lot of things happened, different scenarios, different things impacted the roster, right? We would have gotten some of those standard answers as opposed to these statements. These are definitive. These are direct. And bringing back players is the key piece to it, because there's only so many you can look at and say the Bruce Browns, the Nicholas Claxtons, right? Those are the couple of guys that would really matter inside of these
He's
scenarios.
Not talking about them.
No,
He's
I know. It's 100%, like, right? Like, and those guys aren't guys that you go out of your way to say, boy, we really need to get a sense of where Bruce Brown's head's at from being a team player and being committed, right? It's only guys that are at the highest level and aren't viewed as role players. It's only Kyrie Irving. That's all that this is. That's the majority of what this press conference was about, was getting back to the core premise of, we brought in elite, high-level talent to win championships, and over the past 3 years, we have only seen one of our superstars, and we said at the top, non-injury related, only one of our superstars has shown the level of commitment and represented the organization the way we thought we were going to when we brought them in. There's another one here in Kyrie that has not done that to this point.
All right, 100%. We got a couple more quotes here from Marks. We're going to also talk about how this stands in like pretty clear juxtaposition to Kyrie Irving's closing remarks at the end of the season, which is also find to be very, very interesting. If you look at those as if you sort of line them up next to each other as in a graph about how these guys are talking about the end of the season. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. They have all the latest odds, news, sports developments. They've been rolling through this year's playoffs. Obviously, Major League Baseball. I'm over there every day looking at Major League Baseball lines, all the big fights. They're going to get NFL going, obviously, futures they have going now. And then, obviously, in season, Bet Online's got you covered over there. All the sports wagering information you could ever want is available on betonline.net. Head on over to betonline.net. On your mobile device, you can learn about all the trends, all of the betting action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
All right, so let's just dive right back in on the final quote, probably the most important takeaway from this press conference in regards to what Sean Marks had to say directly, essentially, to Kyrie Irving. He has some decisions to make on his own, Marks said about Kyrie Irving, who missed time, obviously, over the course of the season due to the vaccination mandate in New York City. We're looking for guys that want to be a part of something bigger than themselves, play team basketball, and be available. That goes for Kyrie and everybody. Again, now we can even go beyond. It wasn't using his name directly, and we're saying, who else could they be talking about? Well, you can only be talking about the guy that you actually mentioned in the quote. And this, you said it, in terms of contrasting the way Kyrie Irving approached the end of the season and comments that he made going back to the Kevin Durant podcast, this is in direct conflict with the sentiment that Kyrie seems to be setting up around, hey, man, just happy to get after it, looking for a, and I'm putting a different type of tone on that. He said he's motivated, excited to have 4 years of a dominant run. That's great. That's what you're excited for. The organization is excited to find out if that's real or not, because that hasn't been what we've seen.
Yeah, like this is so, it's so clearly, like I said, juxtaposed against that. He says Kyrie, I mean, he's asked about Kyrie, so this is why he says it by name. So it's not like it wasn't totally taken out of thin air. Like they were talking about the whole situation, so it's clear like why he would bring it up.
That's all everyone wants to know about, right?
of course. But like just to clarify that point. But if you look at this quote and you compare it to Kyrie Irving at the end of the year, granted it was after a final game and, you know, you're tired and this is all, you know, maybe you didn't think it out. Maybe he did think it out. I don't know. But like the context is slightly different, right? And he talks about how it's going to be him and Kevin and Joe and Joe Tsai and Sean Marks and how they're going to, you know, plan for the future of the team. So that is one added. That is one thing, right? That's like, hey, we're all going to kind of get, you know, put our heads together and kind of figure this out. Okay, this was not that. Like this wasn't saying, yeah, we're gonna put our heads together and figure it out. Like that, there was no part of that reaffirmed that sentiment from Kyrie Irving. This was, hey, you need to go figure it out. You need to decide if you want to be here. We'll be here. We probably need to see something more than just you saying it that, you know, makes us believe that you wanted to be here, because. Like, he knows what Kyrie Irving said in that press conference.
Of course.
Like, he could have said, hey, we're excited to be together. I want to say one more thing, and then I'll get, you know, obviously, like, you know, we can kind of bat this back and forth. There was one piece he did say that puts a little context around this, where Marks had said it earlier in the press conference that he had made a mistake the previous preseason talking about how the extensions were going to get done. Mm. Like, but around the Kyrie, Harden, and Durant piece, and how, like, they're, you know, he kind of regrets saying that was going to happen because it set a weird expectation and then it didn't happen. And he basically admitted that was wrong. He shouldn't have said that. He mostly just says he shouldn't have said it, right? Like, it wasn't about whether they should have signed it or not. He just said they shouldn't have kind of, like, let on that they were anywhere in the process without doing it. This could be a little of that, where it's saying, hey, I don't want to be anything close to definitive about this because I already made that mistake once, and it turned out really bad because it didn't happen, and now I look kind of foolish for it. But, so he could be just kind of rubber banding back the other way, but there's other ways to do that, though. So there's other ways to do it besides this kind of clear difference between their two statements.
Well, one of the first parts is, too, it's like one of the reasons why maybe the thing that I said last offseason didn't necessarily age well based on Harden's not on the team anymore. We don't know what's going to happen with Kyrie. There's some direct correlations to what happened with Kyrie over this past year that may have impacted that, right? But I also think, to your point, it's just why put an expectation on something that you don't know how long that process is going to take? Just specifically, you mentioned about his end-of-season comments, Kyrie Irving. Like, this had all the feelings of, you know, when you're out playing a pickup game of football and it's you and your three buddies all huddled up with your head in there, and the fourth guy comes, fifth guy comes, he goes, hey, no, guys, I can't see what the play is going to be. They go, no, we get that. No, we're having a plan here. Like, we talked about at the time, Kyrie specifically not mentioning Steve Nash's name. Like, I'll go the step further of, you know, when you say something like that, after, by the way, Kevin Durant has voiced his support of the head coach, and after you have an understanding that it goes Joe Tsai and then Sean Marks and then Steve Nash, like, there is this hierarchy of command, and when you try to jump ahead of that, for whatever the motivation is, whether you just feel like you are a part of that, maybe, you know, Kyrie genuinely feels like he is, as we say, the better player should have an input. They should have a different standard. But the expectation hand looks different. Kevin Durant comes out and says that. It reads completely different in the room. Everyone gets that he's going to be a part of that. When Kyrie says it, it raises up everyone's antennas, probably including Sean Marks, where he goes, I'd love for you to be a part of that conversation. Do I know if you're going to be in the room when we go to have that conversation? So, again, the overall takeaway for me is just, Kyrie, you've been saying a lot of the right things sometimes. You've also been, you know, speaking your opinion and using your voice, and that's fine. You've said a lot of the right things, but we don't necessarily have a track record that indicates anything other than the opposite of that, which is being derailed, being self-motivated by things that are not directly basketball and Brooklyn Nets-oriented.
Yeah, and I just think I think you can say this too. It actually, at this point, probably doesn't matter what you believe, like the fan, or what we believe.
Sure.
You know, the internal thought processes around the situation. This just kind of tells you what the internal thought process is in the situation.
Yeah.
I think, right? I don't think at this point, you know, I think up until this point, there was always a question of, okay, you know, what, you know, if you got them in a room and gave everyone truth serum, what everyone would say about the situation. I think I probably could have guessed, but there was no real sign that was the case. It's been nothing but supportive of Kyrie.
Right.
I still think that it would be supportive of it, and I do think they probably think the best iteration of this team is him being on the team and playing every game. Like, I think that is a real thing, right? I think that they want him back. I think there's a world where they want him back, and they just want to know that if they're going to get the absolute best 82 games, right? Like, and I think that's where they are. But anyway, the part where we would try to guess around how the organization viewed him, I don't think we really need to do that anymore. I think that this, to me, speaks pretty loud and clear that this is how they feel about it. They are untrusting of the situation right now. It is not a deal breaker. It is not, they're not cutting ties by any means. Like, I think they want to bring him back, but some messages that have to be sent, maybe, that just haven't been sent in the past. Like, this is, the Nets are good about sending messages through the media. They've done it a lot. Like, they every time Woj tweets, it's basically them sending a message through the media. But it really has never been about Kyrie before. And I feel like this, to me, is one of the first times where it is just kind of a finger pointing at you and saying, hey, man, like, this is what we need from you.
Yeah, and I'll paraphrase going back, you know, over the course of this season when Sean Marks was asked questions, even when Steve Nash was asked questions. To your point, it was always supportive of Kyrie specifically. Like, he's going to need to make decisions for himself, and we're supportive of him going through the process of making those choices and decisions. We also need to make choices for the basketball team, right? Going all the way back to the idea of, if you're not going to be available for home games, then we're not going to be able to have you play at all, right? Those were decisions that it can be a both and. It can be that we understand you're going through a decision-making process for yourself, and along that same timeline, we need to make choices for the organization. And now, here at the end of the season, you're making choices around what you want to see happen going forward, Kyrie. Likewise, we are looking at these different paths and how we can move forward with, we presume, that's the number one, you know, 100% number one A option, and also potentially without you if we can't get the assurances that it's going to go the way that we think. Let's take a quick second here, and then I want to dive in on kind of rounding this back out the way you and I have looked at this leading up to this press conference where we didn't think we're going to get information. But ultimately, there's a few tea leaves that I think we read correctly along the way around Kyrie and what could happen here this offseason. First, going to tell you about our friends over at Rock Auto. That's because, you know, there's a lot of cars out there, Doug. There's even more parts inside those cars. And if you love your car, but you're not necessarily a genius when it comes to getting the right part, the right make, the right model, not getting totally ripped off, you go to rockauto.com because they have an easy-to-navigate website where you can find the make, find the model, and find a great price. Why would you go into your local auto parts store with 30, 50, or even 100% markup on the parts that you need and not even necessarily be sure that you're not going to be back at that store saying, hey, friendo, this brown box with dust was not the tail lamp that I needed? You go to rockauto.com right now and you see all the parts available for your car or truck. You're right Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So then to me, coming out of this then, you said, you still believe that the first option is having Kyrie be a part of this team and moving forward with him. When Yes. we initially talked about, obviously, the player option is on the table. I said then, a few weeks ago, the Nets should very much be in the consideration of good faith, show me what that you are committed to this team, and then we'll re-up you following that. While I don't think that that's more likely at this point, I'll use a Doug Norrie, it's more than 0% chance that they approach the table in some regard like that. But at the very least, this messaging, I think, is sending that. Where's the good faith? Where is the gesture? Where is the commitment from you, Kyrie, that's more than just the words that we hear sometimes through the media, that we know we are not about to make a financial commitment that will hamstring this organization for 4 years to come after having a tumultuous three seasons without the success we've wanted?
Yeah, and you can, and along those lines, to be fair, there's only so much you can do to send a signal. Like, I don't know, you can say, I'm committed, right? You know, in these situations, there's very few actions you can do at this point on Kyrie's side. So in that point, like, if they really did that, he'd be, you know, a little over a barrel, because what do you do except for say it? Like, you know, keep saying it over and over. I don't really know what you do. Some of this stuff is just actions speak louder than words. I do think this is more just kind of sort of just like a little bit of a grenade more than a missile or an atomic bomb. I think that's probably where it lands. Cause one, you can't make him do anything. Like, how could he disprove a false negative if that wasn't the case? He can't do anything. his basketball skill, I'll put it this way. He clearly works hard because he didn't play at basketball at all and then came back onto the court right away and was just killing people, right? So it's like he's clearly stayed in shape, like all this other stuff. It's not a laziness thing. So all that stuff is never going to change. This is where I more think it's just about, you know, sending this little, you know, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. Like, we'll actually, because we'll go a little bit more into this press conference, and we'll talk about how he talked about Kevin Durant different than they talked about Kyrie Irving here. Like, we'll get into that tomorrow, because, and you'll see, like, what the big differences are, that this was kind of Kyrie-specific. I think that it's on the table that they would play a little hardball with the contract. They obviously can't make him take the player option. It's a player option for a reason. He doesn't have to do that. It's just his option. You can't force anyone to do anything. But I do think there will probably be a little hardball here around the contract, because I think if these are the comments now, I don't think they're sitting down at the table just ready to ink something. Right. I just can't. That would not seem like these wouldn't be the comments if you were on the 1 yard line of a contract negotiation. I don't think so. That's kind of where I stand with that.
But here, it's not disagree with, but clarify, what can Kyrie Irving do? Right? He said, hey, I'm committed. I want to be a part of it. But again, right back where we started at the top of this, you can take ownership of it. Like, I'm going to frame this in a way it's not about the choice around the topic of the year was the vaccination, right? It's not about that. That represents, you think that there weren't players around the entire league that had different ideas or opinions or personal perspectives that were going to influence that choice or any myriad of choices that you make that impact your professional life, right? Of course. but you made choices that were a me choice as opposed to a we choice. And listen, I get in gray areas on that where I don't look at everything and go, well, if it's good for the team, you got to do it, right? Chop off your left arm and throw it at the referee if that's going to get you a call late in the fourth quarter of a key game. However, Kyrie Irving can come into the offices with Josiah and Sean Marks and Steve Nash and say, I made mistakes in the way I communicated, in the way that I carried myself. And it can be beyond just this past season, the years prior, right? Taking time away from the team, taking personal stepaways for a myriad of different issues or different situations that impacted me. Taking ownership of that is probably the needle move that the Nets are looking for. Because even if Kyrie comes in and says, it's a clean slate, I'm with you, I want to be here, like you said, well, what does that really validate? Because it doesn't change that something else will come up in year number four, and he'll go, well, this wasn't those things, this is the new thing. You need an acknowledgement from Kyrie that he gets that his thought process and decision-making has flaws. We talked about this before on the podcast, right? The sample size of the way that he goes about things usually ends up with him coming back and saying, I didn't handle that the best. I didn't do that the right way. I could have made better choices. Well, that's what the Nets want. They want you to not only say that you have problems sometimes making the best choices, and then say, and I'll be bending Kevin Durant's ear more for maybe what I should do. Or I'll be coming to you guys for guidance on that. Because short of that, to your point, there's no guarantee that it's any other version of, and then the next time something comes up, I'll filter it through my brain, and we'll get there in the end. So it does make it interesting. It does make it curious to see how things go forward from here with Kyrie, because even if he took responsibility, would that totally dissuade the Nets from having reservations? It is, to your point, a grenade that's probably the pin is loosely just almost about to fall out of this thing and explode and maybe create a real issue for the Nets.
And it's so funny with him, too, because each individual, we said this before, each individual situation, like, has merit. Each individual situation in a vacuum has merit. No one defended Kyrie and the vaccination thing harder than I think we did. Like, or, I mean, specifically, I had to be talked off the ledge on this, but to not talk about it more on the podcast, right? Because, like, it was just, like, I'm only saying this to say, yes, and I still believe everything Adam said is pretty much correct, right? Because while each individual thing in a vacuum looks, can be explained away, the cumulative look from the top down looks like, hey, there's just still a lot of these. and that's more what it is. And so I think, and I'm with you, I do think that this might get a little more contentious than we thought it was going to, or maybe than Kyrie thought it was going to when he talked at the end of the season press conference, where he clearly did not think probably that this was anything but a done deal. I don't think he would have said the things that he said at the press conference if he was curious about it, because he would have said, hey, I'll take, for instance, look at Zach LaVine in the offseason. Zach LaVine said, hey, I'm going to go take a look at what, I'm going to go enjoy free agency. That's basically what he said, right? Like, this is like, hey, Bulls, we'll see. Kyrie's comments weren't that. It was, I'm going to be part of the organization and I'm going to help figure this out with everybody else. And I just wonder if now, after this Marks conference, that if those comments would have been the same. I can't imagine they would have been.
And I think, again, and it's okay to send the reality check. And by the way, the one thing that we kind of didn't mention inside of this, we're using Sean Marks, the GM, obviously. And this also goes up the chain to Joe Tsai, right? Joe Tsai, who we believe is motivated, wants to win, but we also had a discussion around it's a business and the product on the court needs to be the best version of success financially and from a basketball perspective. So the internal conversation obviously was a collective effort on that level, and maybe something that we get into here, this will extend beyond this one from a team perspective, is what was Steve Nash's voice inside this room, right? I mean, you're talking about an organization that puts someone in place that they view as he was a point guard, a high level Hall of Fame point guard, probably thinking that he would have additional value to certain key players on this roster, Kyrie being chief among them. So when those three voices get into that room, I'm sure they came to a consensus, let alone that, as we've said before, I'm sure that Kevin Durant's opinion and perspective was taken into account here, and you can look over the course of the season for examples where, while Kevin Durant may have his personal perspective, usually when the team made a decision about something, his response was, yeah, listen, whatever they think is the best for the club, like, I support it. So he's not putting a roadblock in front of this, or this also wouldn't have been the version of that press conference.
Yeah, and Marks did say he hadn't talked to Kevin Durant because KD is vacationioning in Monaco. It looks lovely.
As Doug and I will be doing very soon here in the off season of the podcast.
We are going to talk tomorrow about what Sean Marks said about Ben Simmons, what he talked about Kevin Durant, and how the Simmons thing, I don't know, the little gray area there. Kevin Durant, no gray area on that one, in terms of how Sean Marks thinks of Kevin Durant, getting all my names confused.
Sean Durant changes his name. That's how committed he is to him.
We are going to talk about that on tomorrow's podcast. The mailbag's getting delayed a day or two here, so there's still time to get questions in. We got a bunch already, but we still room for more. So make sure you drop us over on Twitter at Locked On Nets, or go into YouTube and drop a comment into this podcast or the previous ones. We scour the comments and get alerts over the comments. So go and drop a question that you have for the offseason. We'll be doing a mailbag early next week. And also like and subscribe over on YouTube while you're over there.
Hey, friends. Individual commitment to a group effort, that is what makes a team work, a company work, a society work, and a civilization work. That's Vinnie Lombardi.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets. R.I.P., I think. Yeah, probably, right? I think all right, we'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.